Well, the difference is the story behind it, right? The story is what people need to understand is value is all about perception. Perception is what influences value, right?
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. We just had a great chat with a friend of ours, Dr. Chad Woolnough, all the way from the US of A. Now, here's why you should listen to this, because Chad shares in this interview the strategies that he used to take his practice from $15,000 collections a month.
Best month, $15,000.
Yeah, all the way up to well over $50,000 that he was collecting per month. So he talks all about new patient funnels or patient funnels as well. So what did you love about that?
Oh, I loved it that he gives great overview of the process, but then he really dives in and gives some strategies and tactics of what you should be doing to have a funnel that actually works, what you shouldn't be doing, you know, some of the common mistakes that he sees with having now helped hundreds of practitioners implement these funnels in various niches, and he really dives into what you shouldn't be doing, which is helpful.
See, we often kind of hear this word funnel come up from time. What's a funnel? We talk about what exactly is a funnel and how we can use this process to attract in really high quality new patients as well. So we're going to put together a really great summary for this all as well, because as Tony mentioned, it's full of great tactics, strategies as well. So head on over to the show notes of the page there, adiomedia.com, and then you'll find podcast under this episode with Chad Woolnough. We'll have a great summary for you to download, which will help you implement this process straight away as well. So let's
get into it.
Chat with Chad. See you in there, gang. Well, Chad, welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Buddy, great to see you. How are you?
Doing awesome, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I was just saying on our kind of pre-show chat how much I miss hanging out with my friends from Australia there, but I'm super excited to be on the podcast. I was excited when you guys invited me, and I'm looking forward to this chat, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this chat too. I mean, we first hooked up maybe 3 or so years ago. I was listening, going through some Russell Brunson training. He was talking about a chiropractor in Boise, mentioned your first name. I did a Google stalk of you, found you, sent you a message. And 30 minutes later, you and I are on a Skype chatting through stuff. It was super neat. And then, you know, we're talking about kind of Puerto Rico and the fun times we had there as well. So for our guests that don't know a little bit of your background story, tell us, in a few minutes, a little bit of the kind of Chad Woolnough story. How did you get to where you are now? What's your superpower?
Yeah, you bet, man. So I always try and say long story short, but it tends to be short story long. So I really will try and keep this as convinced as possible. You know, I started in practice nearly 10 years ago. As many chiropractors and or other healthcare professionals can relate, most of the schools that you go to do a great job of preparing you to be a healthcare professional. They don't do so good a job to prepare you to be an entrepreneur. And I was one of those docs, even though I thought that I had a good grasp of things because I always liked to read. I had read, like, you know, Michael Gerber's E-Myth, and I knew theoretically a lot of the right things to do, you know, and so I thought, and maybe that's even worse than knowing nothing, right, is thinking that you know. No. And so I started into practice, got my teeth kicked in pretty well and good and thoroughly, and realized I didn't know what I was doing. I was about 4 years into it, and I had thought that, you know, after a year or two, I would have had the swing of things, but I still didn't. And a big piece of that component was getting the right patients through the door. You know, we were getting some patients through the door, but it wasn't the right types of patients. And so, I had known Russell Brunson. He is a very close friend of mine, and he was kind of watching this whole process. This was pre-ClickFunnels days. And then one day out of the blue, he comes to me and says, I'm going to be creating this new software. And I didn't think much of it because I had seen probably, I don't know how many countless launches of things he had done prior. And so to me, it was just another program or product launch among many that he had kind of shown me along the way. Like, oh, and I'm just thinking this is going to be, little did I know it was going to become this massive thing that ClickFunnels now is. And he's like, do you want to be a beta tester for this software? I was like, sure, man. And I didn't think it was going to do anything revolutionary for my practice. So I was just like, I'll try it and see if it works. And I had it for a couple weeks. I don't know, maybe a month or two. I dibble dabbled with it. It was still really buggy. I mean, crazy buggy. But I finally figured out the right hook and the right approach that I could then integrate into it. And when I launched that funnel, that completely revolutionized my practice. I mean, just completely. It was like, you know how they talk about, you know, it took 4 years to have the overnight success or whatever. I mean, it was massive. I mean, we went from collecting my best month ever. And for people international, these dollars may not make sense in terms of things, but, you know, we had our best month, we'd collected $15,000. Like that was a good month for us. And then all of a sudden we went from that to collecting now $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month, like that. I mean, it was just like crazy. And it was just super consistent. It was super stable. It was super reliable. And then from there, I built another funnel and that one did great. And then from there, we built another funnel. And so, around this time, there was another doc in town that was really struggling. He was in the same boat that I had been in. And so my heart went out to him. I felt for him. And I, which you guys have met Dr. Matt Ogle. You guys met him in Puerto Rico as well. And just amazing. And so I sat down with him at lunch and I walked him through everything that I was doing. I said, here's what you need to do. Boom, 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 boom. Laid it out. Little did I know that was what would be eventually become the structure and format of my program, Chirofunnel Secrets University. And he went through, did everything, and he got the same result. I mean, just crushed it. His learning curve was obviously a lot shorter than mine because he had the luxury of my failures and my learning and all that stuff. And since then, obviously, we've had hundreds of chiropractors all over the world go through the course, basically outlining for them the do's and don'ts of implementing funnels. Our approach with our funnels is vastly different than so many others' approaches to funnels. One of the primary reasons is, number one, I'm a full-time practicing chiropractor. So it's stuff that I'm currently doing in my own practice. Number two, I really focus on high quality patient acquisition, not just, deals. We can certainly run deal funnels. That's not a problem. That's not a difficult thing. But for me, I would much rather focus and work a little bit harder upfront to acquire the right types of people through the doors. And so that's what we've done. And that's currently where we're at right now, is teaching docs all over how to implement funnels, currently still using funnels in my own practice. And that's it. Love what I do. Love helping other docs, and love doing interviews like this.
Great story. Great story, Chad. And I guess so many questions come up from my mind, but there's some docs sitting there going, wow, you take your practice from $15,000 a month to $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month. I want a bit of that, but I'm still a bit, it seems overwhelming. You know,
what's
there's language. Yeah, there's this language of that we're using here is foreign for practitioners. So we'll jump back to the start and say, look, let's get the foundations right. What the heck is a funnel?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. That's probably one of the most common. In fact, that's typically the starting point for where we always start is, we don't want to overcomplicate it. You're exactly right. You know, whenever we're going and teaching people how to implement anything, you know, as chiropractors or as healthcare professionals, think about it in terms of you're teaching the public. Simple is always better, right? If you overwhelm people with some complex strategy, the likelihood of implementation goes dramatically down, right? So in terms of what a funnel is in its most simple term, think of it in terms of a website or even a process where you take prospects and you take them through a series of steps that ultimately will qualify them or get them to take certain actions or steps closer towards becoming a patient. The end goal is obviously them becoming a patient through your doors, or if you're practicing virtually, getting them to buy your program or getting them to work with you on some level or multiple levels, right? And so that could look like a landing page, where a landing page is basically a simple scaled down website where there's really one simple thing that you're looking for them to do. That could be putting in their name, email, phone number, or just email or some sort of information that you collect, then take them to the next step. And that page could be, okay, now that we've got your email, we're going to deliver to you some piece of value, either a piece of content, a PDF report, a video training, a download, some sort of a downloadable asset that they can then do. And then from there, you may or may not have some sort of an upsell or then an automated sequence of communications, either via email, via Facebook Messenger, via text message, via any number, but really in terms of simplification, a funnel is a way to capture attention and then to build trust through an ongoing value-based conversation, right? And that's really what it boils down to. And it doesn't need to be, you know, a series of like, if then, you know, till the nth degree. Like if they do this, then it's going to trigger this automation of 20 different sequences. But if they do this, it's going to, you know, it's like, you know, for me, my funnels are step one, step two, done, you know, and then typically I'll have a sequence of emails that I can send out to them that may or may not engage them on another level or something like that. But really, it doesn't need to be complex. It can be really, really simple and just a way to create or to capture attention, then create trust, build trust. People buy from those they know, like, and trust. And so I always refer to a funnel as an ongoing conversation. It's a way to start the conversation and continue a conversation with your audience to ultimately build trust. If you build trust with people, you don't have to resort to price reductions or, you know, price wars or giving away your services for free and anything like that. You can charge a fair price. In fact, you can even charge more than other people can if the trust is there. Most people recognize that. Like, look, if somebody trusts you, they're going to come to you because they trust you, not because they're looking for a discount or some sort of an offer, you know, in those terms. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's some key points there that I really, you know, I often think of funnels as a digital automated way for us to have continual conversations with people. So,
yep.
You know, that analogy of the dating process of, you know, you're not going to walk into a bar and go up to the first girl, ask her to marry you and expect that to be successful. Yeah, that's exactly what we do with our advertising, our marketing as health practitioners. You know, we rack an ad on Facebook that says half price adjustments or, you know, anywhere around there. We wonder why, one, either it doesn't work, or two, the people that it works with, you know, a terrible quality that you said before. So a funnel allows us to automate, which is a really great word to think about, an ongoing conversation until we can build knowing, liking and trusting, until it makes sense for you to ask someone to marry you and they'll say yes and you've chosen the right person. So I love the way that you kind of talk about that as well. So where do I start? I go, yeah, okay, I get it. I like this funnel idea. I want to, like, what should I have my funnel? Because you mentioned this idea of a landing page and then stuff like that as well. So what are the ingredients and what should I have on them? And, what should I offer in terms of digital reports, if I should do that, videos? What are you seeing as working best with regards to those?
No, that's great. Let me kind of go out into potentially what might seem at first left field, but I think it'll really set the right foundation, because if we don't start here, no matter what tactics or tricks that you decide to use in your funnels, you're not going to get the right results that you're looking for, and you're going to wind up frustrated. And then what happens is people unfortunately throw the towel in way too early. Funnels don't work. I tried it. It sucks, you know, and then they throw it away. So number one, recognize selling needs to be the preeminent priority on any level. And I think one of the things that is frustrating for me to see is how few healthcare professionals embrace a healthy relationship with selling. You know, marketing and sales go hand in hand. And the reality of it is this is the conversation that I try and have with healthcare professionals that I work with, is if you don't sell, you can't serve. Like if you want to have the impact that you desire, I think most healthcare professionals get out on some level or another because they want to change the world. That could be their own little community. That could be the world. I mean, depending on their scale of their vision and what they want to do. But at the end of the day, docs do what they do because they want to change people's lives. They want to have an impact. You can't change people's lives if you're not making money. You just can't. Like, unless you're going out and serving in Peace Corps and that's your thing, and somehow you've got some sort of a philanthropic benefactor who's funding you for the rest of your life, which is fantastic, way to go, high fives. But for the rest of us who have to live in the constraints of reality in terms of we got to make money, selling needs to be this term or this concept that is viewed as a very healthy relationship, that making money and serving people are not mutually exclusive things. In fact, they go hand in hand, that what you'll find is you will be able to serve people on a much higher level the more money you make, right? And I love the way Gary Vaynerchuk put it. You don't need to be 100% altruistic. You just need to be 51% altruistic, right? The scale is just tipped just slightly so that you're really out there for the right motives. And that's kind of the way I feel about what I do, is that, look, I make money when I sell my course. That's fantastic. but I know where my heart is aligned. My heart is aligned. I really genuinely want to help docs. I really want to help the patients in my community. And in order for me to do that, the first thing I have to be great at is influence. I have to be able to influence people to take the right steps. And those right steps are steps closer to me. You think of somebody, Jay Abraham, if people aren't familiar with him, he's a famous business consultant, and he's famous for saying, and I'm going to paraphrase this and I might butcher it, but he said, if you have a product or service that can change people's lives for the better, you have a moral obligation to sell it to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's the mindset that we have to start with in terms of that, is that you have to be first and foremost, before a healthcare professional, before a chiropractor, acupuncturist, naturopath, massage therapist, whoever we're talking to, before that, you have to view yourself as an influencer. You have to influence people to change their lives, because if you can't influence people, if you're not skilled at that, you're going to suck at funnels, because that's all funnels is it's a methodology for influencing people to take a series of micro steps, we'll call it, towards ultimately working with you, giving you their money so that you can serve them and help them and work with them, right? So in terms of that, become an avid student of human nature. Become an avid student of what makes human beings tick. Right. And when you understand those principles, I just bought, in fact, I think last time I was with you guys, I pulled open a book too, didn't I? I always pull up.
Still to this day, one of Tony and my personal favorite interviews was that.
Yeah, no, I just got this. Highly recommend anybody. Have you guys seen this?
No.
The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene.
Laws of Power.
Now that's the new Robert Greene book. Yes.
Yeah.
I've got, so for our listeners, Chad is holding up The Laws of Human Nature. It's a new book by Robert Greene. So it's Greene with an E on the end. He's written some fabulous books. I've heard him interviewed about that book. But
But the idea is like this. If we're focused on funnels, and I want to focus on funnels, I want to give lots of tactics. I do. But we have to understand that upstream, we got to go upstream if you want to have success here. Mm. And going upstream is understanding human nature, what makes people tick. Because if you don't understand what makes people tick, you're going to throw out stuff that's just not going to resonate with people. And you're going to have, it doesn't matter. You could have the most complex, beautiful piece of software, but if you don't wire it correctly in terms of human nature, you're fighting upstream. You're fighting an uphill battle, and you may get some results, but I think you're going to be really, really frustrated. So I would just simply say that, understand what makes people tick in those terms. And I would say just in general, and he talks about this in the book and obviously goes into a ton more detail, but at the end of the day, people are looking to do one of two things: either create more pleasure in their life or avoid pain. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for healthcare professionals, we understand and recognize most people are seeking us who are in pain, some pain or another, you know, whether it's neck pain, back pain, whether if it's chronic health issues, whatever it is, they're looking to get out of pain. And I think far too often, docs, especially chiropractors, want to embrace this fantasy that we can start this conversation in terms of wellness, right? Let's just talk about wellness terms, and that because it's not about pain, right? It's not about, and at the end of the day, it's like, look, I agree. It isn't, the story isn't truly about pain, but we have to start where people are at, and people are in pain and they want to get pain relief. We can ascend them in terms of the philosophy and story that we tell them, but that doesn't come first, right? So understand in terms of your funnels. So let's talk in terms of tactics. You know, on your funnel landing page, a couple rules that you'll want to incorporate when you build your page is a clear headline, right? The more specific you can be talking to a niche audience, the better results you're going to get. So we counterintuitively think that when we talk to an audience, the broader the net we can cast, the better results, right? It would think like, instead of talking to this group of 10,000 people, why don't we talk to 100,000 or 1 million people, right? And the problem that they don't understand is that when you market to everyone, you market to no one, right? Because it's just this nebulous, noisy, ambiguous message that doesn't resonate with anybody, right? So for instance, if you wanted to, you could say, hey, attention, chronic neck pain sufferers or chronic headache sufferers or chronic whatever, that's good. You could even go so far as to go even deeper and say, are you a teacher who's been struggling with neck pain? Now you're getting really specific talking to somebody. You're going to get a lot, you're going to increase the likelihood that that message is going to cut through a lot of the noise because it's so specific. My friend had a funnel where he was talking about back pain to pregnant women, like super laser focused, and that funnel crushes it for him every time. He does, that's Dr. Matt Ogle, his pregnancy funnel, and that was something he developed all on his own, and it just crushes it every time. He turns it on, runs it, gets a bunch of new patients, shuts it off, turns it on, runs it, and a big part of the success is that it is so laser focused in terms of speaking to the right people. And again, the proposition or the headline, you know, is geared towards getting relief from their pain, because people are motivated towards getting relief from their pain. In terms of a simple framework that you can use today, this is really simple. And obviously we could go super deep just in this alone, but for tactical purposes for them, understand there's a proven framework for a headline that you can use if nothing else. It's the Frank Kern called it get the yay without the boo. I call it promise relief. Basically, what's the payoff for the thing that they want? And then what are some potential barriers or some potential pain points that they could do without that you could make it easier for them to get the thing? So what I mean by that is get blank without the blank, right? So it would be like, you know, if weight loss was your thing, yeah, lose weight without having to starve yourself, torture yourself in exercise, or do any other cruel and unusual punishment or something like that. You know, that would be the payoff is you're going to lose weight, and then you don't have to do all this other crap that you don't want to do, right? So for instance, with women with back pain, hey, get back lasting back pain relief during your pregnancy without drugs or other harmful procedures. Okay. You know, or without some sort of a year-long process, you know, with a quick, you know, whatever it is, but find out, you know, just understand your market, understand what are maybe some of the potential pain points for them. You can remove those in the headline. So get the thing without the blah, 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 right? So that's a good place to start. Any questions so far about anything that I feel like I'm talking forever here?
Ha, no, and it's great. I've been sitting here kind of sopping it up. So let's run with that example, a bit like Matt's example that we're talking to. We've decided that, you know, my focus is going to be a funnel directed towards pregnant women that might have lower back pain.
Okay.
I'm going to just break a bracket on stuff here too, because I know from having had many of the same conversations, I just want to remind our audience, gang, there's a difference between influence and manipulation. Manipulation is pushing someone in a direction that's better for you than it is for them. Influence is helping to get somebody an outcome that's good for them. So it's helping them get what they want and using everything that's ethically and morally in your toolkit to help them get to where they want to go there as well. So I want to double tap on that point there just to really reinforce, because it's such a great point that Chad made with regards to that too. So we've decided that it's women with back pain that we're going to be talking to. We've got our headline there, and I'm guessing we've built a landing page or something like that we're going to. With that landing page, and we've used all our influence tools, we've created a great headline, which is how to get something good without having to do something bad there too. Is it that landing page that you're offering an appointment? Is it that landing page that you're using to go somewhere else, or what is that landing page doing and heading towards?
You know, that there are an infinite number of ways that we can do this, but at the end of the day, ideally, in an ideal world, what we would have done, the marketing that's working the best right now is, let's say you created 3 to 4 pieces of just informative content revolving around that same topic with no call to action at all. Just, hey, I'm Dr. Chad Wolner. If you're someone who's pregnant, I want to share with you a really cool strategy that we use with our patients that really helps them out. It's blah. It's this thing. It's a simple trick. It's a simple exercise. It's this simple supplement. It's whatever that you can use. You get that content out with no other objective other than getting views. So you could throw a video up on Facebook and do a video views campaign. It's pretty simple. It's not that difficult. That's a whole different topic for another time, but just in general, the whole purpose is to get it marinating in your community. You can then do retargeting to watch more additional content. And then eventually what you can do is you can retarget then to then send them to that landing page where the call to action and the offer is to come into the clinic. We'll just make it a simple call to action, right? So the whole idea, my friend, I don't know if you guys have met Sam Carlson before, but what he's really good at and what he's kind of coining is this phrase brand response marketing, where it's a combination of direct response, but then doing some branding as well, where you marry those two together. That's the evolution of where marketing in general is going today. And so the whole idea is, look, you build your own kind of custom audience, if you will, through engagement. And then once you've got that audience, let's just say that we've aggregated from video views on Facebook, then we can send an offer via a landing page to that audience. We understand, because they've engaged with us already, to some degree or another, they're going to know us. To some degree or another, they're going to like us. To some degree or another, they're going to trust us. So we take them now to the offer, you know, and that offer could be either some type of a slightly discounted offer where the focus isn't on the discount, but really on the solution. There, you know, I always talk about, in terms of the offer, it's not so much the what of the offer as the how and the why of the offer that are going to make the big difference. I really could care less if you do a discount, so long as you don't negatively impact your positioning. And let me give you an example. Mm. Hey, what city are you guys in again?
Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah. Hey, Melbourne, it's Dr. Wollner. I'm doing something really crazy. It's a crazy deal. Like, that's poor positioning, right? Whereas if you lead in with, hey, if you're somebody who's struggling with back pain and you're pregnant, we help patients like this all the time. And we realize that establishing a new relationship with a healthcare professional can be a little scary sometimes. So what we want to do is we want to make this risk-free for you, which is why for our first appointment, we're just going to do blank and you make whatever offer you're going to make. Do you see the positioning there? The positioning is completely changed. It's not this used car salesman crazy deal, but instead, the positioning's there, right? So we create that offer, put in your name, email, and phone number. Our team will reach out to you. And that's, you know, that's the call to action, right? Whatever your offer is. And we can talk more about offers moving down. But that's, in essence, does that answer the question in terms of landing page, offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got our landing page there, which is then, so that landing page there would be the offer that we would show them after they've watched some of our video content beforehand.
Ideally, you know, you can do that to a cold audience. And again, if the offer is right, if it's a good enough offer, and if your video on that page, ideally you have a video, if it's compelling enough, if you've got a good, you know, what we'll call hook, story, and offer, which is the essence of good offers. We can talk about that later. But if that's there, you can try it on a cold audience. I know Dr. Matt Ogle's gotten great results with that. But in an ideal scenario, you can definitely build some attention and trust with an audience through creating some goodwill, providing some value up front,
that way. So in essence, tell me if this is a summary in terms of what you're saying. Certainly it would be what Tony and I would suggest is someone might go out and say, look, the audience I'm going to look after or want to focus on here is pregnant mums that have some low back pain. I'm going to make 3 or 4 videos that offer great value, offer solutions that help to get them some results in advance. We talked about kind of Frank Kern there beforehand as well. And then inside of Facebook, gang, Facebook makes it really easy for us to build a custom audience of people who've watched our videos. And anybody, what we might want to do is not somebody that's just watched 3 seconds, but depending on the length of that video, whether someone's watched 30 seconds or maybe the more of the video that we've got, but we could pull up an audience of people who've watched lots of our videos. Let's use that generic word, lots. These are the people, so each time someone's watching our video, this is like us going on a date. They went one date. Well, that was a long date. Good. And they went for another date. And when we've had enough dates with people, then it's appropriate for us to put an offer in front of them that says, hey, you know what? We understand that it's tricky getting in a relationship with a new health practitioner. We want to move those boundaries. And I love this chat so much more than that. Hey, we're doing something crazy. We see those ads all the time over here as well. And it cheapens us. It makes us a commodity. But I like the way that you kind of position it. Then when we put those offers in front of people, of course they're going to raise their hand. They go, that's Chad. He's great. I was having some mess. I've started to get some results. He seems like a nice guy. He's friendly. I've seen him. I've built this relationship. That's when your Facebook ads, your Instagram ads will actually work because you've built a relationship working through it as well. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. You said it better than I did, man.
Not like
only because we just listened to you.
That's right. We listened to you. Yeah. I didn't say nearly as cool accent as you've got as well. So I've got this kind of rough old crazy Aussie accent that kind of works from there as well. So two questions. You can answer these in either order there too. Tony's saying, one, how do we get people to watch our stuff in the first place? Where do we get our traffic from? And then second, you brought in this idea of hooks and things like that as well. And like, what is that about? Where does that fit into it? So zip, go.
Yeah. So first question, traffic, and I love the fact that you use the term traffic. That's one thing that I try and help docs understand is that Facebook does not equal traffic. it does, but it doesn't. Like, people, we almost have developed like this myopic view that Facebook is the only way to get traffic. And that's just not true. Facebook is great. And I say use it, definitely use it. But it should be one of many different traffic sources. There is this thing, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of before, called Google. And people have seemed to forgot that Google is a great way. In fact, I think what we're going to see personally, if you want my opinion for what it's worth, I think we're going to see a massive shift back to Google in terms of traffic. The more that Facebook starts cracking down and making things a little bit more challenging and cumbersome for business owners, I think we're going to see more and more people, an exodus, so to speak, shifting more towards YouTube and Google. So those are great ways to get traffic. You can do paid ads on YouTube. You can do paid ads on Google. You can do an ad display network on Google. You can do search engine optimization to where you get organic search results there. You can do another simple thing is if you have an existing email list of your patients, you should be sending out these videos to your patient base, right? That should be huge. The other thing you can do is what we would call like a joint venture offer or a joint venture relationship where you get other local non-competing business owners in your community to cross-pollinate, right? So they send out, this email to their list. You send out emails for them, you know, develop a good, a symbiotic relationship in your community. Those are all great sources of traffic. So that's kind of answering the traffic question. In terms of hook, story, and offer, this is something Russell Brunson teaches. He's been teaching this like significantly. The best analogy that I could use to really help people understand a hook, story, and offer in terms of context, in terms of developing a good offer that's going to really work is this. Let's say in one hand, I had a piece of cardboard, a thin piece of cardboard about yay big, right? It's a piece of paper, right? Cardboard paper. In the other hand,
a playing card, like a pack of cards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like a baseball card, right?
Right.
And then in the other hand, I held up a Mickey Mantle rookie card. I'm not like some sort of baseball card, you know, aficionado or anything like that. But and I don't know.
He's a baseball.
Got it. Thanks. Yeah.
Who's the biggest legend in cricket? Right? Is cricket the sport down there?
Yeah, that's one of the sports that we play down here.
Okay, well, a cricket trading card, right? But anyway,
let's stick with Mickey Mantle. A valuable, for our Aussie listeners.
Tony's a dickhead. Just ignore him.
So a Mickey Mantle rookie card is worth like, I don't know, like $1 million or something like that, right? It's worth a ton of money. But it's just paper. It's just cardboard. You know, it's a little card, right? Or we could even say in one hand, I'm holding a face deck playing card, right? It's worth nothing, right? What's the difference between the two? Why would somebody be willing to pay, you know, $1 million for this and nothing for this, right? It's the same thing. Or you could even say, I took a picture of a Mickey Mantle card and printed it out, right? So what's the difference between the two, right? Well, the difference is the story behind it, right? The story is what people need to understand is value is all about perception. Perception is what influences value, right? If I were to, and maybe that's not even the best analogy. Let's say I held up a playing card, a face deck playing card, right? And people are like, you know, and I'm like, how many people would pay me $1,000 for this card? Most people would say, you're stupid. I wouldn't pay. And then what if I then said, well, you know what? Let me tell you a story about this card. This card was once used by Elvis Presley in his last poker game that he ever played when he was alive. And he blah, 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 blah. This isn't true. None of this is true, right? But I'm just hypothetically speaking.
I was loving it. I had it visualized in his pocket and it was all sweaty and crinkled. And
yeah.
Right. Would have had hamburger on it for sure. Definitely would have had cheeseburger.
Deep fried playing card.
Yeah, exactly. So then all of a sudden people are like, heck yeah, that's worth way more than $1,000. Now, all of a sudden, how many people would pay me $1,000 for this? And people are like, heck yeah. You know, the example that Russell used was his phone. He said, how many people, you know, this is an iPhone. There's my lovely wife, Amber, which Tony was dancing partners with her down in Puerto Rico. So he said, you know, how much does an iPhone go for? $1,000, right?
Yeah.
$1,000-ish. So how many people would be willing to pay me $5,000 for this phone? And most people would be like, meh. But he's like, well, what if I told you that inside here you had Tony Robbins' cell phone number. You could call Tony Robbins anytime you want, right? Or all these other famous marketers and influencers. You have all their phone numbers now. Oh, and then on top of that, what you also have is my digital library of every marketing book and course I have ever paid for, about $1 million worth of marketing material, all in this phone here at your fingertips. Now, how many people would pay me $5,000? So the point I'm trying to get to is the story is really the meat of what makes influences value of things, right? But we can't get to the story without a hook. And then obviously the offer is what we stack at the end, right? The offer would be the so what, right? The conclusion, the okay, now what, right? So hook, story, offer, you see this interchangeable throughout this whole process. If people start to look at like the best marketers out there, Russell being one of them, you know, I'll give you an example of a hook, story, and offer that I did for chiropractors, a perfect example. I talk about how Russell Brunson spoke at an event, and in 90 minutes, he made $3 million. $3 million in 90 minutes. Now, do you think that might capture people's attention when they hear $3 million in 90 minutes? Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. People are like, okay, what did he do, right? And so then the story is, well, I recently had the opportunity to have him come speak at one of my events. How much do you think that costed me? Well, I'll be honest with you. I can't afford somebody who can command that kind of money. The only reason he came and spoke at my event is because I'm lucky enough to be friends with this guy. But he came and spoke nonetheless for 2 hours straight. And he just delivered so much value. Somebody who can command $3 million in 90 minutes, what do you think he shared with the people there? Obviously, a ton of value. In fact, what he was teaching on was hook, story, and offer. Really is what he was teaching on at a much better level than I am, right? But and then my offer is, well, I fortunately for you guys was able to record this and I put it on this USB drive. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this for blah, 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 blah. The offer is obviously claim this thing, whatever the offer is, right? Mm. But it's this whole idea. The hook was something, a hook should be something that stops people in their tracks, gathers attention really quickly. Like a good idea of when you know you've got a hook is when it causes somebody to say, wait, what? Right? Wait, what? That's a hook, right? So you've interrupted, almost think of it in terms of like a little sucker punch, right?
Yep.
You kind of, you know, like, oh, okay, you got my attention. What now? And then you tell the story that gives you just enough time to then go into this really intricate story, this really value-based story about, you know, this whole thing, and then the offer at the end, right? So
could you give some examples, Chad, of you know, some of the kind of hook, story, and offers.
Yeah, perfect.
Successful with the, you know, hundreds of docs that you've worked with.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I'll give you an example of something we're doing right now. We do concussion treatment at our clinic, and a hook could be, hey, did you know that a single concussion, studies have shown a single concussion can triple your risk of suicide? One concussion. It's that serious.
Right, wow. What?
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what? Yeah, exactly. And so, and the problem is that unfortunately, for the longest time, we haven't had really solid objective measurement tools available to us until recently. And now at our clinic, we are one of the few clinics in the entire Treasure Valley to utilize this state-of-the-art digital testing system. Do you guys want to see it? Let me show you. And then I go through and I tell them stories about this and I basically walk them through, show them the visual. Oh, that's cool. Oh. If you or somebody you know has had a concussion, or maybe you're not sure and you're looking for some answers, what we'd like to do is invite you in for this test. Let's see if we can test you and find out if you've had a concussion, definitively tell you, and then also to what degree and what areas of the brain have been affected as a result of that. And then from there, if it turns out we can help you, what we'll do is we'll outline a plan to get you better. Boom.
Got it.
Hook is, you know, triple the risk of suicide, one concussion. Like it's more serious than you thought it was, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden we've got this test, right? So something like that. And that's the cool thing about, you don't have to get insanely creative. You know, Sam Carlson, he said this today, we were talking. He said, think about it in these terms. You know, one way to create an easy hook is look at what direction the stream is flowing in terms of information. And look at ways in which you can face the opposite or go kind of. So if everybody is saying in terms of weight loss, you know, like you got to go low fat, you got to go low fat, or even now it's high fat, right? So what's one way you could kind of break conventional wisdom to capture attention? Like, wait, what's he saying? listen, guys, everybody's saying high fat. Let me tell you why that's dead wrong. Boom, boom, you know, dead wrong on the screen. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, okay, what's the deal, right? Or Drew Manning, he's I think that's his name. He did the fat to fit to fit to fat to fit, right? The dude, he gained, this is an example Russell uses, where he gained, I think it was like 50 or 100 extra pounds just to prove that he could lose it all again, to show people, like, his whole hook was, people always say to me, oh, it's easy for you because you're fit and healthy. And he's like, well, let me prove to you that it's not easier for me by, I'll gain all this weight myself, just like you guys, you know, gained all it. And then he lost it all just to prove it, right? That's a good hook. Like, that's like, and then it leads into the story. And then the offer is, come join my program or whatever the offer is, right? So that's one example. Any other examples? Does that illustrate?
What I love about it, Chad, is that, you know, we're not bullshitting people here. We're telling factual, because people have got a pain or a problem that you have a solution for, and it's just outlining those facts. It's just so authentic. It's so beautiful and so heart driven. It's not about tricking people.
That digital framework is a nice one, because if we go back to that example that we're talking about with the pregnant mum's back pain, you could have a heading just off the top of your head that says, did you know that women with low back pain during their pregnancy are less likely to have a natural birth?
You know, have longer labor times or whatever.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's things that, so when you're thinking about those kind of hooks and stuff like that, gang, is, you know, I like your example, the did you know framework works, that we can get somebody's attention, you know, whether it be our Facebook feeds, our social media feeds are so busy. We need something to kind of stop us in our tracks so that we can start back again there too. So
and I think that's a great place to start. You know, is if people are like having a hard time wrapping their mind around it, just look at like crazy statistics or crazy studies, conclusions that studies have made that might shock people, right? Something that's shocking, you know, that's a great way to start. You know, did you know that with this particular issue, people thought this about it, but did you know you're X times more likely to suffer from boom or this or whatever? And people are like, whoa, you know, that's kind of crazy. Yeah, let me tell you about how I discovered this. Let me tell you the crazy story about this whole journey, you know, that we, you know what I mean? And then you back up and you kind of like, it's almost like, if you've ever seen like those movies, it's a style of movie where they start with like some dramatic opener and you have no clue what the heck is even going on. There's no context, but then they're like 2 weeks earlier, you know, or a year earlier. And then they start and then they tell this, you know what I mean? It's almost like that, where it's like, boom, like up front, it's like this thing. And then it's like, okay, well, let's back up and give some context to this whole thing. And in telling the context, in telling a story, if you're good at storytelling, that is where the value is established. That's all of a sudden where you're no longer needing to discount stuff, because the story will establish the value, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like, seriously, if you look at like the people who are the best marketers, like say Russell Brunson, he is a master storyteller. He's just incredible at telling these stories that are captivating, that are engaging, that are fun. It's like hypnotic, you know? And I think the reason why is because storytelling is deeply ingrained in our biological DNA. Like, we're used to that. It's part of our survival as a species. The stories are so essential to who we are as humans. There's something very engaging, captivating, and connecting about telling stories. And so that framework is just such a solid, timeless framework. This is something that if docs will master this process, it doesn't matter. They can go back and they can watch this podcast 10, 20 years from now. It's still going to be just as relevant, regardless of the platform, whether it's Facebook or some other platform that's come about that we don't even know about now. If this framework will hold true, it's timeless. It's a timeless framework.
I think, you know, as my mind is racing as we're having this conversation now, in terms of thinking of ways that you could approach this, you know, regardless of, if you think about, because the modern medical approach to most healthcare disorders is a shambles. So if it was ear infections that you were thinking about, you go, okay, what's the standard treatment? Well, it's antibiotics. Then you look into the research, we know they don't really work. And so you go along, you know, do you know that your child taking antibiotics or infections actually increases their risk of more infections? Now, maybe if you're going, okay, and if you're doing any kind of body work and helping people with pain, the standard treatment is some kind of painkiller, opiate. You know, there's a, you can get into a storm there where you can get people going And the research shows that these things aren't really effective. So, you know, before you come up with your hook and you're putting together your story, a little bit of research, you know, this is to go to. And I think to just listening to stories, as you've been telling so many stories here too, you know, it engages our limbic system. That's where it brings out emotions, and emotion is what has us make decisions there too. We need some statistics in there because that helps to drive us forward there to bring context to it. But emotion is important. When people get this wrong, what are some of the, and we've talked about it there too, but to kind of bring it together, what are some of the mistakes that people do that when they come to you and they go, oh, even my funnel's not working? What are some of the mistakes that they're making that stop this from working for them the way that it possibly could?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I would say a big part of it is not knowing their audience well enough, not knowing what those emotional triggers are that are going to prompt people to action, not clearly defining a niche specifically enough. Again, I'd say that's probably the biggest. It's just like, hey, everyone, I've got this stuff. Come in and see me. You know, it'll help with everything. Like, it's like everything to, I mean, it's like the most convoluted, like, just like, I've got this stuff. I had a doc recently show me one of his first funnels. And it was like very vague. It was like put in, and it was just a simple landing page. And I appreciate the fact that he made this effort. But it was very clear. It was just like, hey, it's my five tricks to low back relief or something like that. And it was good, but I don't think it was nearly specific enough. And I think he could have developed, again, in terms of a hook story and offer. So let me do this, if it's cool with you guys. I'll share what he did, and then I'll share maybe one way that he could sexy it up a bit and fix that, right? So the whole offer was he was going to give them five different exercises to fix low back issues, right? And it was just like, hey, everyone with low back issues, put your name and your email here, and I'm going to give you these, you know, low back tips or tricks, right? So I'm just going to be stupid and crazy here for a second, just throw this out there. But let's say he did a video on the landing page, and he says, hey, everybody in Meridian, Idaho, Dr. Chad Wolner here. I'm a chiropractor and owner of Align Integrated Medical. If you're somebody who's been struggling with nagging low back pain and you've tried everything, you've tried chiropractic, you've tried the physical therapist, you've tried the massage therapist, and you just feel stuck, like you can't get results, then I have something really important to share with you, right? So that's a classic kind of video if-then. I'm talking specifically to somebody. If you fall into this category, then you need to pay attention, right? So we can capture attention that way. I want to share with you something crazy I learned in China. Like, okay, what does that have to do with anything? You know, I learned the secret to fixing low back pain on a trip to China of all things, you know, and again, it's just hypothetical. Like I've never been to China before, right? But you could tell this story about, you know, and the way people need to think of this is look at ways that you can create greater connections in your life from your own experiences that you can draw from, right? Let's say I did go to China. How could I draw that in? You know, when I was there in China, we were walking on the Great Wall of China, and I saw this monk who was doing this like Shaolin dance thingy or whatever. And we got to talking, and he had broken English. And in the course of our conversation, we were talking about these exercises that he did to strengthen the back. And I saw he was using this really weird tool. And I was like, that's interesting, and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I figured out and cracked the code to, I noticed that none of these Shaolin monks ever have back pain, and I realized the secret was blah, you know, or whatever. I mean, I know it's a stupid hypothetical, but you get the idea, right? Draw from your experiences, you know, that I saw this documentary, this weird documentary, and it said this, and I saw this, or my family and I, we were in Disneyland, and this experience happened, and I learned this. What's the moral of the story, right? What's the story you can tell, right? So then all of a sudden, you know, if I do that, if I say, hey, here's specifically who I'm talking to, and even we could stick with the pregnant women, right? Pregnant women with back pain, tell the story of China, right? I learned there was five specific exercises that these monks do every day to keep their backs strong and stable and resilient to any sort of back issues. And if you'd like to get them, I'm going to give them to you for free. Would you guys like to learn these secrets for free? Now, all of a sudden, instead of me just being like, nah, I'm going to show you some things that you can do for your back, put in your name and email. Now, all of a sudden, people are like, heck yeah, I want to find out about that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, or some story that's going to be like different, that's going to be a different angle, that's going to, you know, hook, story, offer. I mean, it's the same idea, right? So going back to your original question, you know, what are some things that people do wrong in their funnels? I would say 99% of problems all revolve around a crappy offer. They don't make good offers. If the offer sucks, if they don't spend enough time, and I would say, again, going back to it, you just have to come up with a really cool story and angle. And if you can do that, I think that will fix 99% of the problems, right? A good offer will compensate for a lot of other problems that you have in your funnel, right? That's what I found, is that if it's a good enough offer, it doesn't matter if your funnel doesn't look that great. It doesn't matter if the headline isn't exactly the right way, if the color isn't the right scheme, if the whatever the other, you know, little issues are, if the hook, story, and offer are good enough, that'll compensate for other mistakes or other problems. So I would say that's the biggest issue. I would say the other big issue that docs do is they overcomplicate it, right? They think that I have a friend of mine, and his funnels are so complex, and it works for him, but I think for most docs, it's overwhelming. And so don't overcomplicate the process, you know, landing page, and then on the back end, one or two other simple steps. And we can get into those if you guys want, if we want to dig in, because there's some other cool stuff, what should happen on the back end.
Yeah, maybe if we touch on that too, and I'm starting to see, I think we need to get onto a round two with regards to this chat, because, you know, we're going to talk about technology and all those kind of things there too. So just quickly, so on the back end, what happens about that? You've got some thoughts about that also?
Yeah, and that kind of goes in terms of mistakes that docs make. This is one of the biggest mistakes that I see docs make, is they think that it's game over once they've signed in. Like, I got the name, I got the email, okay, and so what do they typically do? Thanks. Well, what you've basically done is, it would be like the equivalent of me reaching an agreement, you know, like we'll say the marriage proposal, right? You make the marriage proposal, she says yes, and it's like the equivalent of saying, thanks, well, see you later, and then turning around and walking away, right? And it's like, no, like that, this is where it's just starting to get good. You know? And so what we did was we created a process. The next page, never think of it. I've eliminated it, or I tried to eliminate from my vocabulary, calling it a thank you page. I call it an E&R page, insure and reassure. So what we want to do is we want to ensure that person who opted in, that they stick, right? That they show up for their appointment, that they do whatever the next thing is you want them to do. But then we want to reassure them as well, you know, because people psychologically, whether they consciously or subconsciously feel this way, they're always waiting for the gotcha, right? And so they put in their name and their email, and then all of a sudden, if you're like, thanks, see you later, sucker, they're like, oh, okay, that was kind of abrupt, you know, whether they realize it or not. Whereas on that back end, what I typically always do is I always have a video where I say, wait, hold on, there's something else you need to know, really important, and then I take them to the next step. What now? Like, okay, well, what now is somebody from our team is going to be reaching out to you. So make sure you keep an eye out for that phone number. Obviously, we need to connect with you to confirm whatever it is we need to confirm, to get you in, to do blah, 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 blah. And then the other thought that I had recently that we've been kind of experimenting with, and I would highly recommend, because there's no harm in doing this, is we live in a binge culture, right? We binge watch Netflix and Hulu and all these different shows. We want them all. And so what we do is we give people the opportunity to binge watch or binge consume us. So below, you're going to find a cool story about our team and how this all came about, right? And then we tell them, they click on a button that takes them immediately to a bio video. We tell our bio video, and then below that, we have a button that they can click. And this is easy stuff in terms of logistics. It's not complicated. It's literally just like, click a button, it takes them to the next step in ClickFunnels. Click a button, it takes them to the next step. It's really, it's not complicated at all. It's not like all these different, like, it's just dunk, 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 next step, next step, next step. And then we'll have a video showing our success stories, you know, testimonial videos or success stories. I know there's some laws in Australia, you're not allowed to show like testimonial videos. So maybe a clinic tour, show them a tour of your clinic, show them, you know, some of the people that you guys treat, some of the conditions that you guys help people with, blah, 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 blah. But just allowing them to kind of continue the conversation themselves, you know what I mean? Just continue. And we call that kind of a rabbit hole. We're just let them go as far as they want to consume, you know? And at the end of the day, what that's going to do is that's going to help dramatically with creating a stronger connection and bond with you. It's going to help with pre-framing, so that by the time they do come in, those that have consumed all that, there's going to be a dramatic difference in the caliber of that prospect or patient that comes through versus somebody who just put in their name and email. Thanks. We'll see you when you get here. You know, there's a huge difference there, right? Yeah. And so I would say that's a big mistake on the back end, is that's just the beginning. Like, keep the conversation going. Let it go as far as you want to take it. You know, that's my take.
Yeah. Great.
Perfect. What a great, mix of overview, strategy, tactics, all things funnels there with Chad Baldwin. Now, Chad, you mentioned earlier on that you do have a course. If people do want to dive deeper and go, yep, this is what I want to get into, I want to learn more, how do people go about that?
Just go to chirofunnelsecrets.com. We typically will do almost every week. We usually have webinars that we do. And the webinar isn't just a thinly veiled sales pitch. We literally will walk through the three core funnels. We show everybody what we've been doing for the past 4 years. I literally map them out, boom, 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 walk them through it. And then at the tail end, if people are interested, we present how the course works and how it all works. If it's a good fit, then they'll know it and they can get on board and great. But if not, they at least get the setup of how we do what we do in our practice with our funnels.
And I think so, too, I mean, Chad, like I mentioned to begin with, we've had a relationship watching you do what you do. And Chad's behind the scenes is as great as his front. If you think that what Chad sort of shared with us today is great, then, you know, we've spoken to people who've been along to your programs and stuff like that too. And it's we love the way that you look at it as well. So we'll make sure we're down in the show notes there.
We'll put a link.
That you can pop a link to that also. And then I will, as we have with all of our shows now, I'll have a summary of all of this because there's so much great overview to the tactics through this as well. So if you want to dive back into this as well, then again, just head to the show notes page. There'll be a link there for you to be able to kind of download a whole summary of this as well. So, Chad, any final words to share with our audience before? And then we'll need to clearly organise a round two so we can dive into more of the nitty-gritties of this as well. So any parting thoughts?
You know, I would say the biggest killer of practices and practice dreams is hesitation in any way, shape, or form. You know, that's the biggest thing in my own life that I've seen is when I hesitate and when I get, you know, analysis paralysis, that's when things really, that's when I run into the biggest problems that I run into. I find that when I'm willing and able to just take massive action on something, it tends to work out far better for me. So I would just tell docs, if you're looking to implement funnels, be willing to metaphorically and or literally roll up your sleeves and go to work and do it. You'll find that it's a very rewarding process, even though it might be a little scary at first for some. I promise it's not nearly as complicated or scary or frightening as it might feel. It's like any new skill, and it's a skill that will serve you for the rest of your practice, for the rest of your life. It's a very valuable skill. It's an incredible vehicle and tool that you can use to dramatically expand your influence. So take massive action. Do not hesitate. Jump on in. You've got an incredible resource. People who are watching, I'm assuming, are listeners and followers of what Angus and Tony are doing. These are two of the most genuinely wonderful people in our industry, in the healthcare space in general. They're brilliant. They know what they're talking about. They have good hearts. They have good intentions. Follow what they do. I mean, you're already plugged into a lot of great resources just with these two. They're great at what they do. So in terms of taking action, do what they say, follow what they do, and you guys will be in, seriously, you'll be in good shape. You really will.
I'm going to play this to my wife.
So there you go.
She gets that bit there as well. There's that bit there that says, do what they say. So that's the bit I'm going to cut that out and play that to Lauren multiple times there as well. So, Chad, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Your generosity continues to expand each time we get a chance to chat with you as well. So as I said before, gang, we'll have some links down in the show notes where you can kind of chase up and have a listen to Chad's stuff. Go through his webinar. That'll be full of great content there as well. And be sure to download the show notes for this one as well. It'll be a rich well of great content as well. So, Chad, thanks again, buddy. We look forward to seeing you real soon. Take care, mate.